Hello, word nerds. Welcome to the dictionary. Hello, my name is Spencer. How are you today?
Welcome to the dictionary again. This is the podcast. It's the best one out of all of the podcasts. This is the best one. And I am here to tell you about some more words. A handful of words from the dictionary. The big old dictionary. All right, let's get into it. The first word is gala. You can pronounce it a couple other ways. Gala. Some people like to say that. Maybe a gala where people are acting gay and happy and having a very good time, dressing up, partying, dancing. You can also pronounce it gala. That is obviously the most fancy way to say this word. Gala, gala, gala. G-A-L-A, noun from 1777. Number one, a festive celebration, especially a public entertainment marking a special occasion. Why do you have to call out that it's public? Are there private celebrations like this, entertainments? I would assume that actually most galas would be private and not public. Let's go to a gala. I don't know, most of them are public. I'm not sure. But you got to celebrate something, a special occasion, maybe a birthday. Number two is capitalized. This is a medium-sized apple with crisp, yellowish-white, sweet flesh and a red skin or a golden skin with red striping. Could be a golden skin apple with red striping. I've definitely had gala apples before. I am sure I've had a whole bunch of different kinds of apples. And, I meant to type in apple. I'm just looking up. Gala apples. Galapples? Gapples? Most of these are looking pretty red. But some of these pictures that I'm seeing, they have, instead of golden with red stripes, it's more red with some goldeny stripes or some sort of mottling on it. But yes, here are some that are more golden than red. Gala apples. People are very opinionated on which kind of apples they like. Let's see. Why are the apples called gala? I don't know. Can you eat them at a gala? Do you eat them at a gala? What do you eat at a gala? Maybe a lot of finger foods. You know, there's people walking around with their appetizer trays. Appetizer? Appetizer? Drink? What would you like to eat at the gala? Is it a sit-down meal? Maybe. Gala is also an adjective. And this is an Italian word from the Middle French, gala, which means festivity or pleasure. I hope you get a lot of pleasure at your gala. There is more at the word gallant or gallant, depending on how you want to pronounce that one. That one has a double L. I honestly don't even know what way I would say that word now. Gallant, gallant. Both of them seem equally correct and wrong. Let's see. I guess that's it for gala. I would just like to go to a gala. Galas are quite fun. You know, I don't want to dress up all the time. But every once in a while, if it's for a special occasion, maybe I shall dress up. Okay. What's a sound effect to make? Oh, let's go. Now we have the word Galabria. Galabria. You can spell it G-A-L-A. Oh, no, actually, Galabia. There's no R. Galabia. G-A-L-A-B-I-A or G-A-L-A-B-I-E-H or G-A-L-A-B-I-Y-A. Galabia. This is a noun from 1725. The synonym is, how would you pronounce this? Jalaba? Jalaba? I need to go back. This is a D word. D-J is how you spell this. Sorry, going back to the huge D-J section in the book. You pronounce it Jalaba. jalaba. It is a long, loose garment with full sleeves and a hood. Full sleeves and a hood. You're totally covered up in this jalaba, or also pronounced, other word is galabia. Galabia. They are obviously very similar. This is an Arabic word from the, I guess, Egyptian dialect word, galabia, spelled kind of similar. So that's what that is. A cloak with arms and hood. Okay, what was my sound? Don't know what that is, but I've definitely done something like that before. Now we have the prefix galact or galacto. There wasn't there in the new Fantastic Four movie. Was it Galacto, Galactus, whatever? He came, very tall dude. He came to bother them. Prefix. It means, number one, milk. Milk? Okay. As in the word galactorrhea, which we're going to talk about shortly. Number two, it means related in galactose, related to galactose. That's what it means. And the example is galactosemia, which I believe we'll be talking about shortly. Yes, we will. Along with galactose. There were no definitions about galaxies, the stars out there, the planets or surrounding the stars. We're in a galaxy. There's other galaxies. None of these definitions had anything to do about that. So makes me think I have an idea, but I guess we'll get there. So this word is from the Latin galact. That's a prefix. From the Greek prefix galact or galacto. Also from galact or gala. And there's more at the word galaxy. Obviously, we'll get there. I think I need to bump up my mic a little bit, make a little bit higher. That feels better to me. So now let's get into these galact or galacto words. We now have galactic. Galactic, adjective from 1839. Number one, of or relating to a galaxy, and especially the Milky Way galaxy. Number two, the synonym is huge, as in a galactic sum of money. Wow, so much money. There's so many dollar bills. They take up the size of a galaxy, so they're galactic. Just a huge, huge amount. I guess this is probably a fine place to say it. Why galaxy or galact and milk? What is the connection there? I think we maybe will see something. I don't know. I'm looking ahead at the etymology, and I'm not seeing anything yet. But, you know, we had this number one definition for the galact prefix. Milk means milk, and we live in the Milky Way galaxy. Was there something about the original word galact, galacto, that prefix in Greek or whatever, and it meant milk, and then they're like, well, we're in this thing, and when you look up in the sky and you can see a lot of the galaxy, it looks like it's milky, because there's so many stars bunched up together, and then they used the word for milk for that, and now our word for galaxy comes from the name of our galaxy? Do I have this correct? Is this accurate? Do I need to go to the translate and change my language to Greek and then just type in galact with a K? It has to be galacto. Milky. It means milky. Galacto in Greek means milky. So yes, that's literally what it is. We're in the Milky Way milky. That's like saying a chai tea. Same word. Okay. Fava bean? All right. So this has kind of blown my brain open. So let's move on to these other galacto words. It's galactorrhea. I mean, of course, if you think about a galaxy and the rhea makes me think of diarrhea. How can it not? And so it's like the galaxy has diarrhea, or I don't know. I'm not going to go down that road too far. But if you want to think more about galactorrhea in terms of those things, then have fun with that. But the actual definition, this is a noun from circa 1860. This is, some of you people of a certain age and gender would know this already. It is a spontaneous flow of milk from the nipple. This is probably when you are pregnant or have recently had a baby. I guess technically, maybe some people will have this galactorrhea having nothing to do with a baby, but that doesn't seem very likely. The bodies are weird. Bodies are weird. They do lots of weird things. But you know, when you're pregnant, the milk is being produced in the breasts to get ready to give nutrition to the baby in whatever way you want to do that. So sometimes when you're very full, just milk comes out. It's like, I can't hold any more milk. I gotta go somewhere. So it just comes out, and that's called galactorrhea. I'm really curious about this rhea suffix. What does it mean? Is it something like liquid coming out of a thing? Yeah. And of course, galacto, milk. That's what it is. That's what it is. So, don't know if I ever heard of the word. I'm aware of this thing happening, but I don't think I knew the word. And it doesn't seem at all like the word and the definition don't connect in my brain, because this is a new concept for me about learning this galacto prefix. Let's do more. We now have galactosamine. Galactosamine. That's how you say it. Galactosamine. Galactosamine. This is a noun from 1900. It is an amino derivative, C6H13O5N, of galactose that occurs in cartilage. It's an amino derivative of galactose that's in cartilage. In the cartilage, like in your nose, in your ears. Where else do you have cartilage? Other places. You got places that got cartilage. So it's called galactosamine. And let's learn more about, that word that I just said, galactose. Brrr. Galactose. Or galactose. Oh my God, my toes have turned to milk. I got galactose. Noun from 1866. This is a sugar, C6H12O6, less soluble and less sweet than glucose. Glucose is a sugar that's more sweet than galactose. And so why do we call it galactose? That and the galactosamine both have six C's. And that's the only similarity. You know, they got similar H's and similar O's, but they're not the same number. So is it the C6 that makes it galactose? Is it something milky about this? Is it in breast milk? That seems likely. Possibly. I don't know. I don't know these things. Why are you asking me? Next is galactosemia. Galactosemia. That's how you say it. Galactosemia. So it's the galacto prefix plus S-E-M-I-A. Noun from 1934. This is a metabolic disorder that is inherited as an autosomal recessive trait and in which galactose accumulates in the blood due to deficiency of an enzyme catalyzing its conversion to glucose. So the galactose, which is less soluble and less sweet than glucose, can be turned into glucose. It goes woo 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 woo, and then it's glucose. And so this is a disorder that you've inherited from your parents. It's a genetic thing, I guess. As an autosomal recessive trait, it's recessive, in which galactose accumulates in the blood due to deficiency of an enzyme. So the enzyme is normally, I guess, supposed to catalyze, turn in, or start the process of turning the galactose into glucose. But when you don't have enough of this enzyme in your blood, then you can't do that. And then you're like, I got too much galactose in me. I would really love to convert it into glucose, but I can't because I don't have enough of this enzyme. So now I have this disorder. It's a metabolic disorder called galactosemia. How serious is this? Is this a terrible problem? I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. Stop thinking I am. Galactosemic, that is an adjective. Okay, so it's galactosemia because it's related to galactose. And now we shall go on to galactosidase. Galactosidase. These are very fun words to say. I think you should try it. Galactosidase or galactosidase. Okay, this is a noun from 1917. It is an enzyme, as lactase, that's an example of this enzyme, that hydrolyzes a galactoside, which is our next word. Galactoside, noun from 1862. It is a glycoside that yields galactose on hydrolysis. You know, I don't have the information of all these types of words, all the things that are in the body, these chemicals and enzymes, and I don't know. I don't understand this stuff. I don't know what it is. I can't give you any more information. Okay. Moving on to galactosyl, or yes, galactosyl. It ends in an S-Y-L. This is a noun from 1950. It is a glycosyl radical, C6H11O5, that is derived from galactose. Oh, and I should also say, after the O5, there is a dash, which is part of it, and I don't know what that means, but it's there. So it's a glycosyl radical that is derived from galactose, and I shall remind you that galactose is a sugar that is less soluble and sweet than glucose. Okay, is it all coming together? Do you understand it now? Does it make sense? Do you know everything in the world about galacto things? Yes, you do. No, wait, you don't. There's one more. We now have galacturonic acid. Galacturonic acid. Two words. This is a noun from 1917. It is a crystalline aldehyde acid, C6H10O7, that occurs especially in polymerized form in pectin. I can't go on any further than that. I just don't know. But what I can tell you is that all of these chemical symbols that we've seen today, they all have six C's, six carbons. They do not have the same amount of H's and O's, but they're very similar. They range from 10, I see a 10, an 11, a 12, and a 13. I think I saw a 13. That's for the H's, the hydrogens. And the O's, the oxygens, I see there's a 5 and a 7, and there's a 6 and there's a 5. So 5, 6, 7, that's just those three numbers. So they're very similar in their chemical composition, but they're not quite the same. Okay, I hope that was very interesting to you. Okay, now we got to move on to Galago. No, this would be, you could say Galago, yes, that is fine. Or you could also say Galago, G-A-L-A-G-O, noun from 1840. I would like to go to a gala. It's a Galago. Gala, go. Ready, set, go. Gala, get started partying. Okay, the synonym is bush baby, and I believe there's There's a few potential definitions of a bush baby. I feel like this is maybe not the best thing. There's part of me that thinks that. I'm just looking back real quick to see what that is. I am here on the right page, and but yes, there's a couple of things. This is what I was hoping it was. It's a nocturnal arboreal primate. Large eyes, long ears, long tail, elongated hind limbs, and yeah, so that is a bush baby, also called a galago or a galago. And this word, you're like, that doesn't seem like a word I know. I know bush baby. Those are words I know in English, but galago? This is a new Latin, perhaps from the Wolof word, golo, which means monkey. So that makes sense. You know, it's primate, it's a monkey. That tracks. That definitely tracks. I don't know Wolof. Who's speaking that? Where are they in the world? Probably somewhere that has these bush babies. Okay, moving on to, we have the word gala. So it's G-A-L-A-H, gala. It is a noun from 1862. This is a pink-breasted Australian northern, no, I skipped a line. I'm so sorry. I have to put this paper here because it's getting in my way. It is a pink-breasted Australian cockatoo. That is sometimes a pest in wheat-growing areas and is often kept as a cage bird because people don't want them eating their wheat, so they cage them up. Maybe they talk to you. Maybe they repeat what you say, and that's very interesting. The species name, it looks like we have a couple kinds here. Iolophos, no, how do you say this word? Iolophos rosicapillus. And also Cacatua rosacapilla, something like that. When we were in Australia, I think we saw some cockatoos when we were in the Blue Mountains outside of Sydney. And I want to say that they were cockatoos. They were kind of a good-sized white bird, and they were wild. We weren't by wheat, as far as I know. We were kind of in the woods. And I believe that those might have been cockatoos, so I wonder if they are related or are these galas. This word is from, the word is gila, G-I-L-A-A, spelled in English. This is from an Australian Aboriginal language of northern New South Wales, and that language is called Yualarai. I am so sorry for my pronunciation of that. Yuwalaraay. Yualarai. I think that's good. Yes, the gala is a cockatoo named from the Aboriginals. They named it. Okay, fantastic. Maybe I should post a picture of a gala. Next we have Galahad, capital G-A-L-A-H-A-D, noun from the 14th century. Number one, the knight of the round table who successfully seeks the Holy Grail. So Galahad found the Holy Grail? All of my knowledge of the Holy Grail comes from Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade and also Monty Python. I don't know what the actual story is of the round table as people. Knights, there were, 12 of them? Camelot? They were hunting. They were doing a hunt for the Holy Grail. Galahad. Okay, now we got number two. One who is pure, noble, and unselfish. So it sounds like this is based on the story of Galahad, the one who found the Holy Grail, I guess. And he was pure and noble and unselfish. Seems like just the right kind of fella. The right kind of fella that you'd want to find the Holy Grail, right? Of course. He will use that power for good because he is unselfish. I want to look up a picture of Galahad. Did they have photography back then in the round table Camelot times that is completely accurate and historically true? No, I just wanted to look up images of how is he presented. Well, there's a lot of pictures of this, some sort of anime character in black and purple. But yes, there's a statue. There's a statue of Galahad in, I don't know where that statue is, but there's a very cool sort of fancy building behind him. And he's got a sword and a cloak and a skirt and pants and shoes. Yes, he looks like a very important figure. And was this a, this looks like a photo from like an old play. Well, no, this is not a photo, but it looks it's Galahad standing there. He's got wings on his head, and there's a woman who's like kind of down, and it's kind of like your typical Star Wars. It's like a hero, and then the woman is like down by his side, and it's sort of like that a little bit. So that seems like maybe where that came from. Anyway, Galahad. Any other interesting information to say about Galahad, legendary knight of the Round Table, renowned as the son of Sir Lancelot and Elaine of Corbenic, and the most perfect knight due to his purity. Wow, you are the most perfect knight, Sir Galahad. Famous for being one of three knights, along with Percival and Bors, to achieve the Holy Grail quest and was the only one to fully see the Grail. After which he died in a state of bliss. Wow. So, great end to Galahad. Okay, anything else to say about Galahad? Nope, I don't know anything. Although I do love the songs in Monty Python when there's some little songs about some of the people who are on the quest, and those are very entertaining. Next is Galanga. G-A-L-A-N-G-A, Galanga. Noun from before the 12th century. The synonym is our next and last word, which is... It is Galangal. G-A-L-A-N-G-A-L. So we just put an L at the end of Galanga. This is a noun from the 13th century. Number one. Either of two Eastern Asian perennial herbs of the ginger family with dark green sword-shaped leaves and pungent aromatic, aromatic rhizomes. Number two, the fresh, dried, or ground rhizome of a galangal used in cookery as a spice and in medicine. Well, I have never heard of this before. A galangal. Galangal, that's it. So, the species names, there's a couple, Alpinia galanga, and also Alpinia officinarum. There you go. So, where does this come from? Let's see, anything interesting to say? Not really. It really comes from the Arabic, but they don't say, like, what these words mean. So, I can't, you know, I sometimes skip a lot of that because I'm like, well, it's not very helpful. It's just another word that you don't recognize because it's from another language. But I wanted to look this up. It's showing me pictures of a root that looks just like ginger. So it's in the ginger family. It's a kind of thing like that. Where have I ever come across this? Anywhere? Probably not. But yeah, if you know what ginger looks like in its root form, then that's what galangal looks like. All right, we did it. We read all of the words. Wasn't that amazing, everybody? Wow, honestly, this was one of the more fascinating sections, to me at least, because of this whole galaxy thing, which I thought was fascinating. We will have one or two galaxy words in the next episode, but I think that might be all of them. So, we got to reread them and then pick a word of the episode. That's how we do things here. We're picking a word of the episode. We're picking a word of the episode. Which one's it gonna be? Which one do you like? You can email me and tell me. You can also call me. All that information is in the show notes. Today we had gala. How do you pronounce this one? Galabia. Galact or galacto. Galactic. Galactorrhea, galactosamine, galactose, galactosemia, galactosidase, galactoside. The emphasis changes on all of these. Galactosyl, galacturonic acid, galago or galego, gala, galahad, galanga, and galangal. It's interesting that galanga and galangal have very different pronunciations, even though all you did was add an L at the end. All right. This is getting hard. This is hard. I was thinking about gala as the word of the episode, but now I'm like, do I pick galact because of all this interesting stuff? I don't know. I find it fascinating, but I'm just going to pick gala as the word of the episode. Let's go to a gala. Let's go have a party. Let's go to a gala. I hope you're not farty. Oh my God. You fucking nailed it again. All right, let's talk about a movie. I watched The Big, Bold, Beautiful, and it's A Big, Bold, Beautiful Journey. A Big, Bold, Beautiful Journey. This is a very interesting, kind of odd movie. I don't have to call this out, but I will because I'm telling you about a movie. It's a little surreal. It's just a little surreal, and I really appreciated that. There are some very weird lines and jokes that I thought were just quite silly, and I enjoyed them. And maybe it's not for everybody, but I had a good time. And it's just a relationship human thing, learning about these people, and they're learning about each other. And it was just kind of a really interesting, almost poetic film at times, with also just very odd, funny lines, especially the two people in the car rental place. When you see it, you'll know what I'm talking about. Okay, yeah, I enjoyed it. I recommend it. A Big, Bold, Beautiful Journey. That's going to be it for this episode. Thank you so much for checking out this show. I hope that you are enjoying it, and I hope you have binged or will binge all the previous episodes. And of course, I hope that you are sharing this with your fellow humans and being all good to each other. Go ahead, check the show notes. If you want to get in contact with me, it's all very simple, very easy. And until next time, this is Spencer dispensing information. Goodbye.